episode 107, Engine Building.
Join us at the table where we talk board games to miniatures and everything in between. The Games We Play with Brian and Chris.
And welcome back to The Games We Play, a podcast about board games, tabletops, RPGs, miniatures, but always about the games we play. I'm your host, Brian, and co-founder of The Games We Play. This week with me is my lovely wife, Emily.
I'm Emily.
Emily, welcome back to the show. This is episode 107 of The Games We Play. Thank you for tuning in. We do appreciate it. It's been a hot minute since you've been on the show, Emily. So how are things been going for you?
Good. I was traveling and now I'm back and it was a good trip.
We went to Texas, Waco.
Yes, at the Silos Magnolia Market, Magnolia Table.
Oh boy.
It was amazing.
And you got to see Joanna Gaines.
Yes, I actually saw Joanna Gaines.
Oh my word.
She's just picking up her morning coffee at Magnolia Table.
It's the dream.
Yeah, and I just happened to be there.
And she came back with a lot of Magnolia stuff. It seems like every day I'm walking out, I'm like, oh, that's a Magnolia mug. Oh, that's a new t-shirt. Oh, that's a Magnolia candle. And oh, that's a Magnolia dish towel. And
it's become one of my favorite places to visit.
I guess you and tons of other people. Was it pretty busy?
It wasn't too bad. Like, it was busy, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Probably because
the lines
of COVID
weren't
and stuff.
Too long. Like, there were behind out in front of every single little store and shop, there were ropes, like waiting in line like you're at an amusement park ride. And there weren't lines in those yet. You could just walk in. So that, to me, seems that it wasn't very busy.
Yikes. Could you imagine going there and having to stand in line?
Right. Like, oh, you're waiting for an amusement park ride, but it's just to get in just to spend money.
Oh, man. What a business.
But it was super cool.
That's cool.
I would love to go back.
Sounds good. It sounded like you played tons of Quicks.
We played a lot of Quicks. We did play some Quinto, but a lot of Quicks. I realized I've played Quicks 19 times this year already.
Oh, my word. That's a lot of Quicks.
It's fun, though.
I'm not saying it isn't, but that's a lot of
Quicks. My family has really become addicted to that game, so that's why.
Apparently.
I went on the trip with my family. So.
Apparently.
Yes. The other night, I played with my mom and Denver, and Denver beat the socks off of us. I had my worst game ever, and he did really well.
He has a way at that game. It's kind of silly, but funny.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Sounds like you had a lot of fun. We did miss you, but when you were gone, I didn't get to play a lot of games, obviously, but it is what it is. But I may do. We still got some games in, which is great. Before we move on, just wanted to throw out, this comes out on Memorial Day, so just a shout out to all of our current and past service members here in the United States. We really appreciate it, and it's a day to celebrate and remember those who have come before us and who currently fight for us.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just wanted to throw that out there since it's coming out Memorial Day. All right, so Emily, let's move on. Let's talk about what's on your table for this week. All right, Emily, so what was on your table this week?
Yes, so we were able to get in Pan Am. If you recall, at the beginning of the year, I set a goal to play one of my favorite games once a month from the list that I made at the beginning of the year. So this was one of my top-ish games, and we had to get it in before the end of, just squeaked by
we
by
did.
The end of May.
It wasn't the 31st. It was
right.
Before the 31st.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. So we had Pan Am out. For those of you who don't know, it's based on the Pan Am airline company. And it's loosely historically based on the fact that they basically made a monopoly of the airlines in the 1950s. And so each person is running their own airline company and trying to get different routes to get money to buy stocks in Pan Am.
In fact, that's how you win the game.
That is how you win. So whoever has the most stocks at the end of the game in Pan Am wins the game. And then after each round, Pan Am goes in and buys routes or expands across the map. So,
and they could buy up your routes. I mean, you kind of want them to. That's a way to get a lot of big bucks, which is kind of an interesting twist on this game, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so you actually have plastic planes, different sizes.
Pretty cool.
The whole game is very thematic. It's keeping with the 1950s travel theme.
It looks like the 1950s, the whole board game. It's kind of cool. Yeah. Very cool aesthetics.
Yeah. I thought we've only played this game once before this, and it had been a long time, and I forgot how much I enjoy it.
Yeah, it is really fun. It's a worker placement, which is pretty easy worker placement, I think. Yeah. There's only a few spots, and it makes sense because it goes along with the theme, right? Because you're bidding to go to airports or get landing rights to destinations or for building planes and so on. So it makes sense with the theme for the most part, I guess. But it makes sense why you'd want the destinations, why you want to build airports, why you want to build planes, right?
Yeah.
And built routes. But it's just really interesting because you're working toward it to build these routes, only that you want them to be sold off to Pan Am because that's where you get some of the big bucks. But at the same time, it's a fine line of getting it sold out or keeping the income from the routes.
Right.
Because you need that money to buy the stock at the end of each round, and the stock moves up and down at every round. So it's a lot of keeping an eye on it. If it dips down, you really want to buy up as much as you can, but you also want money because you're going to need it to build planes and build route or get destination cards, build airports, and so on and so forth. So it's kind of an interesting dichotomy on this game.
Mm-hmm. In each round, there's an event card that comes out that tells you what the stock price is doing, if it goes up or down. And those event cards are loosely based on historical events as well. Which
yeah, they
is
actually have
cool.
dates and it's a picture of a newspaper clipping or whatever. Yeah, pretty cool. Very interesting game. Very thematic, and it is fun. I'd love to play this with four players because I believe this does play up to four players. Is that right?
Yes, yeah.
It'd be fun. I think it would get a little crowded and a little more cutthroat than two players because some of the tracks, only one person can get an engineer there out of all the players. And so you can keep upping the ante by going to a higher spot, which knocks off the bottom one, but now it becomes more expensive. You have to pay more coins. So I'd be interested to see how that plays out with four players because there would be a lot more competition.
And it would be harder to claim routes. People might steal the route that you want to go on.
Yeah. Yep.
Before you get there.
Yep. So player turn order would make a lot more difference, especially with those directives. They're kind of action cards. They allow you then on the next round to be able to go first in the order that you got put the directives. So it's kind of you can delay your action for this turn to next turn. Then you get dibs on placing your workers first. And so it kind of goes through that order. So interesting little game. It's really well done. It's a solid game. I really like it. Cool theme. Mm-hmm. Awesome components.
Yeah. And it's not super long.
And it's not that hard to learn.
Right. I feel like all the worker action placements make sense.
Yeah.
For the theme and the game. Yeah. And so it just seems like it's easy to learn because, well, yeah, of course you would build a plane and you would need the cards to go to specific cities.
The landing rights. Yeah, exactly. Yes. And the concepts are really easy to learn in the game for the rules. I would say this is kind of a lighter, maybe not like super light, but a lighter medium game. Definitely a good family game, I would say. Good game to pull out the neighbors, or just a good game to something else to cycle onto the table
if that's
unique.
If you like Ticket to Ride, I think you'd like this game.
Yeah. It kind of has a similar-esque feeling a little bit, but with the twist, and you're kind of doing things a little differently.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could kind of see that, but I really
think it would be a good next game if you like Ticket to Ride.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yep. Yep. So that's Pan Am. Really good game. Check it out. It was a Target exclusive. I believe it's not anymore. I think you can get it elsewhere. I've seen it on sale many times, so I think that's something that you could pick up fairly cheap. Components are really nice. The storage is really nice. There's mm-hmm. spots for everything. It goes away really nice in the box. And easy to learn and fun to play.
Yeah.
Hard to ask for anything else than that.
Right. It's a dream boat of a game.
Oh, boy. You should have said, like, carrier plane. I'm joking.
It's a jet plane of a game.
Apache helicopter. I don't know. Anyway.
It's so a first class game.
Oh, first class. There you go. That was Pan Am. All right. What's been on my table for this week is a game called Steampunk Rally Fusion. So I know I've talked about this in the past as a Kickstarter that was arriving and finally did get it, and we finally got it to the table. So this is actually a follow-up game to Steampunk Rally, pretty much the same except for they added some new mechanics to the game, looking at it, and it made it a little more complicated. It's some new obstacles, and so overall, what the idea of this game is there's some backstory about Martians and destroying Earth, and so we have to go back in time, or blah, 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 and it's a race between these inventors, and so it's real-life inventors, like Tesla, and...
I was Amelia Earhart.
I guess they're not really inventors, but, like, classic historical
pilots,
figures. Yeah. Well, not even pilots, because Tesla wasn't. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But
it was
like
inventors and pilots?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. But the idea is you're supposed to race your time machine to get there first. And I don't know. It's kind of strange. It doesn't really matter, I guess. But the idea of this is there's a modular board that comes out and it kind of forms a racetrack. And so you got the starting line, the finish line, and so on. And the idea is you are trying to race your ships and be the furthest along at the end of the game once somebody crosses the finish line. And so how this is done or achieved is by your machines and building your machines upon it and then moving through it. And so you... So each pilot has unique abilities. So it's asymmetric, which is kind of interesting. So you get a cockpit and then another car to start out. And each one is different and they kind of have different powers, if you will, based on the cards. And then every round, essentially, everybody takes one of each of the four cards and it's a drafting game. So you pick one, pass till you get all four cards. And every time you pick a card, you have to decide what you're going to do with it. And what you do is you can either add it to your machine, time machine thing, or you can sell it for dice or for gears, or you can, if it's one of the action cards, you can kind of set aside for later because those action cards can be used at any time. And so essentially that's how the game goes. And... after drafting and building and everything like that, then you're going to roll your dice, and essentially you're going to assign your dice to your machine. And so on these cards, there's dice spots that have different colors of the three different colors for dice, and they have numbers, and essentially you're just adding the numbers and adding the pips and dividing by and then taking the action based on that. So the idea is it's an engine building game, literally building an engine, I guess. Engine parts, I guess. A little on the nose, but that's essentially what you're doing. It's just you're building your little time machine thing.
Engine
of these cards, and they allow you to do more stuff. Each of the three decks that add to your time machine, I guess, have different flavors. So one allows you to move, one converts dice. I don't even remember what the other third kind. They kind of all have their own kind of flavor of it. And so everybody just kind of activates. It's all done simultaneously. And then there's kind of a cleanup phase. And then it moves on to the next phase. And you just keep doing this until somebody crosses the finish line, which triggers the end game. And then everybody gets one more turn. Whoever makes it the furthest wins. So that's pretty much the game. Did I miss anything, Emily?
I don't think so.
So this was our first time playing. We never played Steampunk Rally, but I had heard very good things. I got the Atomic Edition, which came with Steampunk Rally Fusion and Steampunk Rally. So both the games in one box. So this is part of the Kickstarter. Had a really nice inserts that stores everything, which is really nice and can separate it. And you can kind of... I have them kind of organized, so it's easy if we just want to play Rally, I just pull out the deck for Rally or pose the Steampunk Fusion. And then there's also rules to combine them, which is probably not good to do your first game. But you could do that additionally with the Rally Fusion, the second game. So it adds in challenges. It adds in some other mechanics like traps. I don't remember everything because we didn't play with it, but there are advanced rules. And so it basically builds on Steampunk Rally, but adds these new mechanics and other things that make more of a challenge and makes more replayability. Additionally, they add a new fusion die that's much bigger, but it's kind of a miscellaneous, but you can't, once you place it, you can't remove it. So that's different, as well as the mechanics on the cards. There's a lot more variety. Looking through the Steampunk Rally, if you played it, those cards are pretty basic. A lot of low numbers, but they're all kind of the same. Where, hey, this card's just all reds. This one card's all blues. This card's all... with the Steampunk Rally Fusion, it looks like they really mixed it up and is a little more difficult, a little more chaotic looking between the two after playing through Steampunk Rally Fusion. I think Steampunk Rally would be a lot easier to play first and then get into the Fusion, but hey, what are you gonna do? We just jumped into Fusion. Yeah. But overall, it was an interesting game. I think it took us a few turns to really catch on the best strategy and trying to figure out the best way of doing things. Is that how I would describe it, Emily?
I'm gonna be honest, it took me pretty much the whole game to figure that out.
It was kind of a later night and she'd worked a long
really
day.
It was really hard for me. For some reason, I just really struggled to grasp all of the mechanics and what each card did. And that you couldn't remove your dice right away. And
It was different. I mean, you place the dice and they have to stay there. And now the machine's activated. And you can vent is one of the phases. So you can spend these cog wheels that are another currency to put your dice down. And if they ever drop below zero, then the dice gets removed because you vented the heat from that machine part. And so now you can put more dice there to fuel it. Basically, the dice are fuel to that machine part, I think is what the theme is. It doesn't matter, but it's a little different than probably what we're used to.
Right.
And order of operations really makes a big difference because yes. There's cards that, okay, I can put a red one here and then you divide it. Oh, and then this gives me two new red dice to my pool. Okay, now I roll these red dice and now I can put it on this machine and get yellow dice. Now I can get this yellow. So order of operations makes a really big difference if you want to be super efficient. So it's a little more than just I activate this and activate this and activate this. You really have to think through the strategy, and the order makes a big difference. Not to mention, there's a lot of ways to manipulate the value of the dice via these cogs, or you can get more of those fusion dice because the fusion dice have values, I think it's 7 through 10, so much higher and guaranteed to be higher. And so sometimes it might be better to spend some of these lower dice to give them a fusion, then roll that, and then put it on here. And you can just see how it gets out of hand pretty quickly. Not to mention how many, at one point, your machine got big. What did you have, like 9 or 10 cards?
I think I got up to 11.
Yeah, so you're having to, you have 11 cards and you're having to balance and try to figure out the right order. I could see some with AP getting a little lost in this, but I think if you play this a lot, it could get pretty ridiculous where you could run these, you can get some really crazy machines, I think, and get some really neat engines going.
And then I figured out that it is beneficial to drop some of your things off. To destroy some of your parts.
So in Rally Fusion, I think the emphasis on venting is not a big deal. If you look in Steampunk Rally, I think venting is a much bigger deal.
Yeah.
But in Fusion, most of the cards have this ability that once you activate it, you can discard this card to get a one-time action. Well, discarding ends up actually being really good because a lot of times you just put dice on it and oops, I have a bunch of sixes. That's going to cost a lot of cogs.
And you're getting new cards every time anyway.
Yeah, and it doesn't cost anything to attach them. You're not...
Right.
Yeah. So it's interesting. It's just a different way to think through it. Like I said, it took me several turns to really get a grasp of the way I should be doing this. But once I did, I think the last couple turns I was just doing this and then this and then this and then this and then this and this. And I think I moved in my last two turns, I moved like 15 spots, which was pretty ridiculous.
You
actually
really got your engine going.
I really got the engine full power. And Emily was ahead the whole time and I just zoomed past her.
Yes.
And finished the game and maxed out the movement spots. So I basically guaranteed a victory. very interesting. I really liked it, actually. One I would want to play more. There's different maps. You have like a Mars and a... I don't even remember the other place. But there's two varieties of maps, and they have different mechanics on each of the two places that you can race on. Not to mention each of the ones have a couple extra tiles that won't get in there because you just randomly put them in there. So I think there's a lot of variety. Not to mention then we have Steampunk Rally. And then you can throw it in the bunch of the extra mechanics that they add in there, as well as like challenges and projects and stuff like that. So interesting game. One I definitely want to play more of to get the hang of it. And one I would be interested to play with five players. I think it would be chaotic, but it'd be really fun. Chaotic.
Mm-hmm. I like that it's a racing game, but you're actually building the thing you're racing. Because we've played other racing games like Flam Rouge and whatever.
Downforce.
And Downforce.
And Camel Up.
But those things are already created, and so you're just racing them. These, you're building it while you're racing, which is pretty cool. I really liked the theme of it, the whole steampunk art that goes with it. That was really cool. And I do definitely want to play again, but I don't know. I can't decide if I like it or not.
Yeah, and it could have been that you were so tired.
Right, I was just so tired. I just really struggled getting a hold of it. But hopefully if we played again, I would like it more.
Yeah, yeah. I would definitely say it's like a medium type weight game. It might look a little overwhelming when you see it because of all the symbology, but it really, when it comes down to it, is not that tough. There's not tons of symbology. It's just kind of all over the place, but a neat looking game. Definitely one that if you're walking by, you'd be like, oh, this looks kind of interesting just with the colors and the table presence and just the cards themselves, like the machines and everything. They look really cool. Mm-hmm. And you can build these big machines that look really neat, actually. And just some of the rules where you can rearrange your machine at any time, so you never feel stuck for the most part. There's some really nice quality of life things with the game that don't really hamper your progress and actually make things so much easier and just better. Good
quality
stuff.
Of life.
Well, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
When you get these cards, these card parts, there's these steam valves, and they have to connect up to one that gets back to your cockpit.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes as you're building it, you might get stuck, and you're like, ooh, if I could just rearrange these. The game's like, yeah, you can rearrange them anytime or discard them at any time. Perfect. Sweet. I'll do that. And it doesn't care. They don't care. It's just, okay, it works for you. Works for me.
Right. Well, I guess if you're building it while you're racing anyway, you might as well be able to move things around.
Yeah. It is kind of strange, though. You're just taking off huge chunks of your ship and adding ships while you're racing, but we won't go there. I'm not sure how that works, but...
It's already pretty meta.
But anyway, check it out. Interesting game. That's Steampunk Rally Fusion. I would say if you want to start somewhere, check out Steampunk Rally. Very interesting game with some neat mechanics and very cool art style and a lot of dice. I mean, a lot of dice come with this game. So you'd just be rolling dice left and right and placing them and good stuff.
I like dice.
Chris would probably like this one.
Probably.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, cool. That's what's been on our table this week. Let's go ahead and move on to our love and hate segment. All right, Emily, love and hate. Do you want to go ahead and start her off and talk about your love?
Yes. My love this week is the library. Oh, I'm sorry. Is my nerd showing?
I'm just kidding. I like reading books stuff too, but that's
funny. I love reading books. I just went the other day and picked up a huge haul of books for myself in Denver. And I was just thinking, first of all, I'm very appreciative that it's open now because we went months last year without it being open. And second of all, I just think it's so cool how you can go get books for free, read them, and take them back for free. Obviously, our taxes pay for it, but I was just appreciating the library. Now I have a stack of books to read for the summer, and I'm super excited about it. It's the little things in life.
Good story, bro. I'm just joking. No, that's cool. I like the library. I like reading as well, but good stuff. All right, so my love this week. Oh man. No, my love this week is campfires. We did this over the holiday weekend. We just put our little fire pit out in the driveway, put some wood in there, and then we were just sitting around while Denver was riding around on his scooter, and then we roasted some hot dogs and brats, and then we did s'mores. It was just fun. It was really a beautiful night, and our son really enjoyed it, and I just like that. It's that time of year to do that, and really enjoy doing that.
Cool.
Good story, bro, right?
Yeah, good story, bro.
It doesn't really hold weight against libraries, but what are you going to do? All right, Emily, what's your hate this week?
My hate is making the kids go to school after Memorial Day.
Oh my gosh, we have 2 days left of school. 2 days. So dumb.
Okay, and the last 2 days of school on Tuesday, it's yes day. And basically, I've seen like a schedule that they're going to do. It's literally all fun things. Like,
what's the point?
Go outside for extra recess, have a picnic lunch outside, and play games.
and then Wednesday is always a late start anyway, and they get out early. They're going to be in school like 3 hours. What's the point anyway?
Yeah, so exactly. Dumb. Why are we going to school after Memorial Day? It is my hate. I am ready for the summer just to begin.
Let's just do it. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
That's funny. That's good hate. Hate for me is sellers on Facebook Marketplace.
I'm not bitter.
So there's a guy locally that was selling a used mic. It's a Shure mic. So it's an upgrade from what I'm using here for the podcast. And I've been thinking about buying a couple here for the upgrade, the sound quality and stuff for the podcast. But it's very expensive. But it's supposed to be really good. This person was selling a used one, and it was a nice discount on it. I mean, it's still kind of pricey, but it was definitely a nice discount and good shape and everything. And so I messaged this guy asking, and he's like, yeah, it's still available. And I'm like, hey, you know, this was over the last weekend. Hey, you available? And he's like, yeah, whenever, just let me know. And so then I text and I'm like, does the morning or afternoon work, Ben? He's either one, just let me know. And so then I texted literally like seconds after that, I said, hey, does 11 a.m. work? Didn't respond to me. At 10:56, I'm like, or maybe 11:30? Like, and also, where do you want me? And then he never responded. So at like 11:45, I'm like, how about 1 p.m.? And then never responded. And now I left it at 1. This was again over the weekend. I'm like, hey, here's my schedule for Memorial Day in the weekend. And he apparently has not got on Facebook Messenger, and he has not seen the message because, you know, it indicates that. I guess he doesn't want to sell the mic. I don't know. Like, why post something like, yeah, I'm available, whenever, just let me know when you want. And then I do multiple times, and you never even check your Facebook Messenger. It's so weird. So weird. So that saga will continue throughout the week. Hopefully I can nab that mic. It's a fairly...
Excuse me.
It's a fairly good deal, and I think it really would up the quality a little bit and cut down on some of the editing, I think, for the podcast. But we'll see. That's my hate, I guess. If you want to sell something, make sure, I guess, check the messages. I don't know. I would think that's just basic. Like
Facebook selling 101.
101, but I don't know.
So correspondence.
Weird. So weird. No wonder it's not sold yet.
Right. Anyway. Maybe there was a family emergency.
Maybe. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But that's my hate. I'm just impatient, and when I want something, I want it now.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
That's me in a nutshell. Anyway, that's my hate for this week.
Good one.
All right. Well, that is that. Emily, one thing I did want to bring up, and it was a thought here, and I went, this is off the cuff. She has no idea. So I saw this video on YouTube where this board gamer, I think he died of cancer or something. I'm not exactly sure on the details, but some illness, and donated his board game collection to the Dice Tower. And so there is a video with like the unboxing with all the stuff that the Dice Tower got that was donated to him. And there were like multiple copies of the same game, and then a lot of shrink wrap games, which, I mean, I'm not one to talk because I have quite a few shrink wrap games, but it just made me think, at what point does board gaming for a person become from a hobby to a collecting or even hoarding? Like, it seems like there's a fine line sometimes. But I don't know if there's a definition, like a line in the sand, but I don't know. I think this is fairly common in this hobby for a lot of the hardcore people. I see it on the Facebook groups for the board gaming and seeing some of these pictures that people have, and some people have problems. The amount of people I see selling full Kickstarters where they spent like $600 and now they're just selling it and it's all in shrink wrap and they've never played it. You know, they might need the money and stuff, but man, you see in the background like a dozen other huge Kickstarters of the same caliber, usually most CMON or something like that. It just is weird to me, like, why put all that money into something? Maybe it's FOMO, fear of missing out or something. I don't know. Like, where's that line from hobby to collector to hoarder? I don't know.
I don't know. That's like a gray area, I would suppose. Everyone probably has a different definition of what would be considered collecting or hoarding.
You know, I think collecting is more when you're buying games and you never play them.
Right.
That's kind of, I feel like, collecting. There's a lot of people that do that with Kickstarters, where they just buy tons of Kickstarters and then never, ever play them, and they just end up selling them. I see that a lot on Facebook. I think hoarding becomes the point where you don't have a place to put them.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's when you have them everywhere, all over your house. You can't walk through a room. You know, they're in bins everywhere.
Things are getting damaged because of the
storage. You can't live your life, like, normally because your games are overtaking your house.
Well, you're thinking like hoarders where everything's disgusting. I don't know. I think there's
no. I'm not saying it's disgusting. I'm saying if you can't walk through the room because you have so many games, you might have a problem. Here's your sign.
Oh, true. I know. It's just interesting. Just something I was thinking about this week is the definition of collecting versus actually board gaming versus actually. I mean, I think you can be a collector and a board gamer. It's just, I don't know.
Well, there's nothing wrong with collecting.
No, I didn't say there is, for sure. It's just interesting. There's definitely some differences in this community.
When you started this story, that's not where I thought you were going with this. I thought you were going towards life is short. You need to play all of your games.
No, you do need to play your games. But it just was an interesting question. I know this has come up a lot.
That is interesting.
It just blows my mind the amount. Whenever a new Kickstarter comes out, the amount of on that Facebook group, I just see, I'm selling this Kickstarter. It's like, why did you even back it then? It was like $700 for the all in. Why did you back it if you're just
going to
sell
it? I think a lot of it is FOMO. And what if they have a game by them already that they really like? Like the original game, and this is like a second
edition,
expansion, or whatever.
Maybe. I don't know. It's just crazy.
I don't know.
Oh, well. It's neither here nor there. I still have a hard time selling games anyway because I'm just too lazy to get it posted. But it's such a hassle. I mean, the Facebook market.
I think a better question might be, when does game buying become an addiction?
Yeah, true, because a lot
more so than like a hoarder.
Well, yeah, I guess that's why I was kind of thinking of hoarder, like, is
the
that
purchasing
addiction
of it.
Yeah, that it's kind of like that collecting. It becomes like an obsession or addiction.
Yeah. You got to complete the set or don't miss out, or
As I'm sitting here with the full Imperial Assault collection that I just bought all in the last 6 months.
Right.
Which I finally found the missing parts. Thank you, Borlandia. But yeah, I have.
We'll have your intervention later.
I have a full Imperial song. And I search for Battlestar Galactica expansions, and I look for Super Dungeon Explorer, the base game, every day on Facebook for buy sell to complete the collection. I'm one to talk.
Right. I didn't know if this is causing you to do some self reflection.
It is. It's pondering. Everybody look in the mirror and tell me. No. Anyway, well, I was just curious what your thoughts are. That was just something, a little tidbit, side bit. I might just cut this out. Anyway, anything else you want to talk about, Emily, before we take off?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, I hope everybody had a wonderful holiday. At least for the U.S. We do appreciate you tuning in and listening to us. We really do appreciate it. We just like talking about board games. Hopefully you found something or something interesting or a new game to check out. Check us out next week for episode 108. Chris and I will be back at it talking about some games. I know he got some new games to the table. Unfortunately, he had a game night that I couldn't make. But I assume with school getting over, we probably see a lot more of that happening.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I was really bummed because it was one of his Kickstarters that I got in. It's a dungeon crawler. It sounded really cool. I was looking at pictures and but anyway, maybe next time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we do appreciate it. Hopefully everybody has a wonderful week from the games we play. I am Brian.
And I'm Emily.
And keep on gaming. Join the conversation and feel free to give us your feedback. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at GamesWePlayPod and at GamesWePlayPod@gmail.com.